Well, one of the hardest things in life is disappointment with God. Not necessarily because God failed us, but because sometimes we expect God to promise us things that He never did. False expectations create for us real spiritual pain. And that's what I want to talk about this morning a little bit is this series, as we wrap it up. We've been spending several weeks looking at various promises of God and His Word. We looked at His promise to be with us. We looked at the promise that we can hear His voice. We looked at the promise of rest, the promise that He would come again. And last week, for Pentecost Sunday, we talked about His promise to give us power. Today, we're going to wrap up the series, though, a little bit differently. We're going to talk about a few things that God has not promised. And I think focusing on what God hasn't promised can sometimes be just as important as focusing on what He has promised. Because if we go through life believing God promised something that He never actually did, then eventually what ends up happening for us is we get disappointed, we become bitter with God, or even angry with God, confused. And we've all known some people who have checked out spiritually because God didn't do what they thought God was supposed to do. So today I want to look at three things God hasn't promised us. And the first one is, God has not promised us that life would be easy. Right? Life has a way of throwing us things that we never saw coming. These unexpected twists and turns, a diagnosis, the loss of a job, a broken relationship, a season of grief, a prayer that didn't get answered. And in those moments, we can start wondering, God, where are you? Don't you care about me? Why would you allow this to happen in my life? And listen, it's okay for us to bring God our honesty, to be honest with God about how we feel, to be honest with Him about our questions. God can handle all of that. And the Bible is filled with people who took their stuff like that to God in prayer. And some of the most healing moments in prayer are when we stop pretending and we start being honest. And sometimes even lament before God, crying out to Him. God is certainly big enough to handle our tears, our frustrations, and our confusions in life. But it could be that part of the reason some of us struggle so deeply in hard seasons is because somewhere underneath it all, underneath the surface, we've believed that faithful people like us, people that go to church and worship, aren't supposed to have difficulty in their lives. That it's supposed to be easier. You know, when you start reading the Bible, honestly, you encounter a number of people whose lives were anything but easy. There are people who struggled on every book of the Bible. Finding people who had all of these things going on in their life, like Job, he lost everything. Abraham and Sarah, they struggled with infertility for years. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery, was accused for a crime he never committed, and ended up spending years in prison. And then we think about David, who ran for months hiding in caves out of fear of death by King Saul. And then we have Jesus, who Himself said in John 16:33, He said to His disciples, "In this world, you will have trouble." I mean, that's Jesus' own words, the red letter words in our Bible. He didn't say you might have trouble or occasionally have trouble, but He says you will have trouble. Life is hard sometimes. And I'm not talking about spilling your coffee in your truck or breaking a fingernail. But life can be really, really hard, heartbreaking. We can suffer real pain and tragedy. But here's the good news. Even though God never promised an easy life, what He did promise, that He would be our refuge in the middle of it. Psalm 9 says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed and a stronghold in times of trouble." You know, God may not remove every situation we face immediately, but He can sustain us in the midst of it. He can give us peace when everything around us is in chaos. He can give us strength when we're at our wits' end. He can help hold us together. Even when we're afraid, we can find courage to face whatever it is we need to deal with in our life. And God can give us perspective when things are falling apart. God never promised we'd have an easy life. Second thing that God never promised is the church is a perfect place. He never promised the church would be a perfect place. God is perfect, but the church is not perfect. When I was a teenager, God did some amazing things in the lives of some teenagers in our community. And we were kind of all assembled together in a youth group at the Methodist church in town. There were a bunch of misfits like me in that youth group. We had a lot of rough edges in our life. We didn't grow up around church, didn't know how we were supposed to behave and act in church sometimes. And you know, we were the type of teenagers that most churches were hoping that would show up. And God changed our lives and began to turn things around in our lives, and that church became a loving family for us. We loved worship, we loved church, and on Sunday mornings, we filled up 3 or 4 pews right down front on that side. Every Sunday, we were there. Now, here was the problem. Church felt boring to us. You know, we were 90s kids. We wanted a different style of music. You know, we only sang out of the Cokesbury hymnals every Sunday. And apparently, we had a gift for leaving the fellowship hall of the church a wreck every time we met in it. The church ladies and in our church became very frustrated with us. And they were always preaching to us about how we were supposed to take care of things in the church. Put the spoons in the right drawer. Not leave food in the refrigerator and clean up after ourselves. All of those things are important. But at times, it felt like they didn't really want us there. Now, I don't think that's really how they felt, but that's how we felt. Eventually, some of the people of our church left and started another church in the community. And that church wasn't perfect either. You know, after 20 plus years in ministry, I finally accepted something. There's no perfect church. And if you find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll mess it up. I once heard somebody say that. But there's truth in that, isn't it? Why? Because churches are filled with imperfect people. Jesus once said in Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the tiniest of all seeds. But he said, when that seed gets planted, it grows into a large, giant tree. And the birds, they come and they fill the branches of the tree. He said, that's like the kingdom of God. Now, on the surface, that sounds all beautiful, doesn't it? Kind of peaceful and serene. All these cute little birds sitting on their own little branch. But have you ever seen a tree full of blackbirds? I mean, come on. That is not peaceful. It's chaos. I mean, those things are jumping around and squawking at each other and pooping all over the ground. That's truth. The church has been a little messy throughout history. And yet God still chose the church to carry His light into the world. Jesus told Peter one time, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And honestly, I think one of the church's greatest strengths is its imperfection. Now, why would I say something like that? Because we realize how imperfect we are. And I think when we realize that, we judge other people less. We become more gracious. We become more patient and compassionate with one another. We become a place where people get second chances, like me. Imperfect people understand that the church ought to be a place that is welcoming. And y'all, if I'm honest with you, I'm thankful that our church is like that. I hear people say that to me. I love your church. I feel like I can come as I am, and I'm not going to be judged. We don't expect people to walk in here with perfect lives. We love people. We disciple them. And we walk through life with them. Y'all, there are people in our community right now who are not looking for a perfect church. They're looking for a church that will love them while God is still working on them. Let's be more of that. God never promised His church would be perfect. The last thing, God has not promised to answer all of your questions. We live in a world obsessed with information. We Google it, we search it, we ask AI. We can get answers to almost anything instantly. When Debbie and I travel, a lot of times what we do to pass time is when we go through a town or we see a business or something, a landmark or something, Debbie will get on her phone and she'll look it up, find out information about it. I was in Arkansas this weekend. They have a state park called Pettit Jean State Park. Any of y'all ever been there before? Beautiful place. It's the oldest state park in Arkansas. It was built in the 1930s by the Civilian Conservation Corps. And it is also on the historic Trail of Tears. Beautiful place, historic place. You know, you can learn about anything with just a few clicks on your smartphone. But there are still some questions that information can't answer. There are some mysteries that only God knows. Romans 11 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond our tracing out." Think about Job again. For 42 chapters, Job wrestles with suffering and questions. Why did this happen? Why me? Where are you, God? And when God finally shows up at the end, what God does is not answer all of Job's questions. Instead, God shows Job something greater. That God is bigger and wiser and more amazing than he could ever imagine. And somehow or another, Job finds peace in that. In just knowing who God is. You see, sometimes God gives us something deeper than our explanations. He gives us His presence. Our seasons of questioning often become the very places where our faith can grow the deepest. You know what I'm talking about? And the reason for that, I think, is because God is more interested in forming and shaping our character than He is in answering all of our questions. You know, when we think about our Bibles, God has revealed so much in here about Himself. His nature, His character, His plan. But He never promised that we would understand everything. And so as we close out this series, here's what I want you to remember. God never promised us an easy life. God never promised that His church would be perfect. And He never promised to answer everything. But what He has promised is He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And in the end, that's the promise that matters the most. Romans 11 ends this way: "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things." You see, God is at the center of everything, and He holds everything together. And Paul says, "To Him be glory forever and ever." And then he said, "So be it." Church, God is good, and God is faithful to us. He is kind, and He is trustworthy. And when people fail you, and when life disappoints you, and when your questions remain unanswered, what you and I can lean upon is that God still keeps His promises. He is worthy of our trust. And thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank You over these last few weeks that we have understood some of Your promises a little better. God, I pray that for each of us, there's probably one or two of those that we need to really hold tight to today. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to so anchor our faith in You that no matter what our questions might be or how life may throw us curveballs, that somehow or another we will not feel forsaken. We will not feel alone. But we will know the strength that only you can give us and the peace that only you can provide for us. So Lord, help us to keep trusting that you are good all the time. And you are trustworthy. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Amen. As always, friends, we thank you so much for worshiping with us here at Clinton Methodist Church. I pray you have a great and wonderful week, and I want to leave you with a word of benediction. May you go forth to greet the world that is out there in front of you, as here the Lord has greeted us in worship. Go forth in the name of God the Creator, whose strength empowers us, in the name of Christ our Redeemer, whose love transforms us, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, whose presence is our guide. God bless you. Go in peace.